On today's edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, myself and Josh Bass are joined by Gavin Shaw of Locked On Knicks to go through our awards picks for this NBA season. Part one features MVP and Rookie of the Year, all that and more coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Nets podcast. It is the first part of a series we are calling the Quarantine Chronicles. Myself and Marcus Barahal, joined by Gavin Shaw. Of course, the NBA season has been postponed for 30 days. I think we're about 5 days into that now. We'll, in all actuality, probably go on postponement for much more than 30 days. We have no idea if there's going to be a closeout to the 2019-2020 season. So we decided if there's no more basketball this year, let's do our awards picks. First of all, guys, Marcus, Gavin, how are you?
I'll go first. I'm good. Still holed up at home. Took a walk yesterday, though, which was very lovely. Was good to get some natural vitamin D. But yeah, excited to talk basketball because there's been none of it for a few days, and it's been weird.
Yeah, I've been playing one-on-one Nerf ball with my roommates, but just doesn't...
I did the exact same thing with
yeah, same. It's a level of competition, just not what you expect from NBA basketball.
It's close.
Yeah, everyone's really packing the paint. I think Nerf ball hasn't gotten to really where we are currently in the NBA. They're still more in that 80s mindset.
Yeah, there's a lot of carries, too. No one can really dribble it.
True. Gavin, how are you?
Yeah, hey guys, Gavin, Locked On Knicks. Appreciate the introduction, and thanks for sharing all my accolades and everything. That was really cool of you guys. I've been doing really good. I've really gotten in touch with myself the last week. I've left my room a total of 3 times in the last 36 hours. I've not had food in that time, but I have had half a cup of water and a couple pieces of pineapple with a smidge of almond butter, and that was just a delectable way to start my morning. So I'm really excited to get into this and talk some hoops with you guys.
Well, glad to know that you are kind of right where everyone needs to be. Guys, award season, very exciting stuff. First of all, let me get your takes. Are you guys big in general NBA awards folks, or is just it more so that this is the only thing we have left to talk about for basketball?
I think for me, I liked it more before they had the actual like NBA awards show. That was like, that's now like after the season. I liked it better when it was like in April, like right after the regular season ended and whatnot, because it was fresher in everyone's minds, which is kind of why I'm glad we're doing this podcast. It's still like fresh right now. Whereas I feel like if the season does end up resuming in like June or July or whatever, and then they do the awards like after the playoffs and whatnot, it might not be until like August or September that we actually like have these awards announced, which is crazy. I mean, that's like so far from almost a full year from the actual start of the season. So I like the awards. I don't like the timing of them.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I kind of like the drama each and every year. The All-NBA teams are my favorite because I think there's the most room for nuance there, and MVP is generally pretty clear cut for me, and a lot of the awards are usually fairly clear cut for me, though that might be because I don't necessarily care as much about the tertiary ones. But I really like all NBA and MVP. Obviously, there are years like the Harden Westbrook Kawhi year, like where you genuinely don't know who you're gonna pick, or who's the right answer. Like that, like I mean, I didn't think it should have been Russ that year. Like I thought it should have been one of Kawhi or James, but I genuinely didn't know, and I think that's a lot of fun. So I'm into them, depending.
Nice. I like those answers. That's good. Marcus, this is kind of your project here. So kick us off on what we're going to start with today.
Sure. I had a lot of awards listed. There's the MVP, Rookie of the Year, Sixth Man, Most Improved, Coach of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, and then, of course, the All-NBA teams that Gavin mentioned as well. Why don't we start with the biggest award? Let's start with MVP, and then we can do the rest of the awards, and then finish maybe with the All-NBA teams. How's that sound?
Awesome.
Sounds lovely.
Okay. I don't know about you guys. I did my top five MVP choices. I think I'm assuming actually that all of us are going to have Giannis and LeBron as the top two in some order, and then I think 3 through 5 could get interesting. You can that's where I tend to kind of be influenced more by like story sometimes, not just like an individual statistics, and like longevity and like the consistency throughout the year. So I'll just start with, I had Giannis 1 and LeBron 2. Did you guys agree with that, Josh? What are your thoughts there?
Yes, I did. So I ranked my top three for all of these. I had Giannis 1, LeBron 2. I think, especially when you're looking at someone who's been the presumptive front runner since basically the season started, people get bored of that narrative. And I think obviously LeBron has had a sensational couple weeks. And then coupled with Giannis getting injured, if we were kind of playing this out the rest of the season, there was a chance that LeBron's momentum could overtake Giannis. But right now, with the season kind of cutting off where it did, I think Giannis did enough, the Bucks did enough as a whole for him to be named the MVP from just a absolutely sensational season.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in total agreement with the top two. I just, in general, like I take issue with the talk that LeBron was a legitimate candidate here. And like not in the sense that I don't think it's plausible that come playoff time, he's the one guy in the league you would most want on your team. And he is, like, I think the only argument for it is that he's just operating the game at a level I honestly don't think we've seen from any player outside of maybe Magic Johnson in the history of the league, in terms of dictating where his teammates are on the floor and reorganizing guys and bring guys up and bring guys down. And basically, I mean, preemptively picking apart a defense with his mind before he does it physically. Like I don't remember anyone who's ever, again, had just that combination of physical prowess and intelligence about the game. It's pretty insane to watch, but just doesn't even touch Giannis defensively. And even on the offensive end of the floor, I would argue Giannis has been slightly better. I mean, the guy's averaged like a point per minute this year, one of the top five rebounders in all of basketball. And Milwaukee, I know they just lost to LA, so it's fresh in everyone's mind, but they've been far and away the best team in the sport this year with a roster that, yeah, granted, like up and down is probably slightly more deep than the Lakers, but it's not like he's Anthony Davis on his team. He's doing this with Chris Middleton and a bunch of randos. Like it's a pretty incredible accomplishment. So I just think Giannis is a pretty obvious number one.
Yeah, I think for me, offensively, I think it's closer maybe than you gave it credit for, just because LeBron's passing, like he leads the league in assists, 10.6 assists per game. Yeah. Their scoring numbers, even though Giannis is playing fewer minutes, are relatively close. It's 29.5 to almost 26 for LeBron. And then percentage-wise, LeBron 35-50-70 splits, Giannis 31-55-63. So there's not a ton of separation for me in terms of like efficiency. Giannis maybe slightly better in terms of scoring this season, but LeBron's assists for me like bring him up. So offensively, I think they're pretty even. But like you said, defensively, and we'll get to Defensive Player of the Year, I think Giannis is definitely in the conversation for that as well. I don't think it's close. I think LeBron's defense this year has been better than in the last year or two, but still Giannis's versatility and just frankly like his youth and athleticism allow him to defend the rim, defend on the perimeter, and kind of lock up anyone when he needs to.
Yeah, and I think we would all agree that if, let's say, LeBron and Giannis switch teams, I think the Lakers would be so much better than the Bucks in that scenario, because imagine what Giannis could do with Anthony Davis. Because yes, in theory, the Bucks have a shooting center right now in Brooke Lopez, but he hasn't been able to make shots at all this year. And you couple what Giannis can do with a guy like AD, and now the floor is even that much more space for him. I think they would be succeeding a lot more than the Bucks would with LeBron and Giannis's place in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I'd be interested in that actually. I have no clue, because I mean, The Bucks have, I think, more shooting than the Lakers do in their supporting cast. So it would be interesting to see LeBron with that extra shooting.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about, like, when I was hearing our guys, Russillo and Simmons, talk about this on their little podcast, whatever it's called. And I was in my mind, I was just like, how good would the Bucks be with LeBron? And that sort of the other case for me, Like, I think they would be pretty close to as good of a team as right now. Like, I just think with, like, obviously Giannis has turned himself into a really strong passer, and with his ability to draw double and triple teams, like, he makes some great reads and he makes their offense run. But with what LeBron can do and the way they've sort of perfected floor spacing, like, I think their offense collectively might be a little bit more potent.
Yeah, yeah, Giannis quietly was at 6 assists a game this year in the 31 minutes. So he's definitely improved his passing without getting a ton of credit for it, I feel like.
Right. On defense, though, I think that's the part where they would actually really slip. Because, I mean, like, the Bucks have been so good on defense this year. And part of that's having a guy like Giannis who can be everywhere, 7 feet tall, extremely athletic. And with LeBron can obviously has gotten to that level in the past and can be in very limited stretches. But given where he's at in his career right now, he can't expend that energy over a full 82-game season.
From an early morning breakfast burrito to a 12-pack of beers, sometimes you just need what you need delivered fast. And that's where Postmates comes in. If you're like me, you probably start thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're eating lunch. I love food. Everyone who knows me knows that. And that's why I love using Postmates. They deliver food from every restaurant I can think of right to my door. But it's not just burgers and sushi. They actually make my life easier with grocery delivery and whatever I can think of delivery to. Convenience stores, clothing stores, you name it. So no more trips to the store, no more late night fast food runs. I don't even have to worry about where to grab lunch anymore. Just download Postmates on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get anything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days to start your free deliveries. Download the app and use code LOCKEDONNBA. That's code LOCKEDONNBA for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates apps. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it.
Yeah, I think that's right. And Josh, now I'm curious because you mentioned that you did a top three. Who did you have third after these two?
Yeah, I had James Harden at third. I think it was.
I did too.
Yeah, something I had to think of between him and Luka. But overall, I think Harden's edge in games played and Luka, you know, he obviously had that insane start to the season, but he has slipped off a little bit. And when you look at his percentages overall, 32% from three this year, kind of a mediocre true shooting after the All-Star break. And I think obviously Luka is an insane talent, someone who I'm going to have consistently in my awards list as we kind of scroll down this list and will be there kind of entrenched for the next decade plus. But I think a lot of the buzz he got for the MVP was just due to him being a second year guy and kind of a wonder kid. But Harden overall, I think his resume is much stronger than Luka's. No, nothing against Luka. It just kind of is a fact of the matter.
Yeah. And you mentioned the 32% shooting from three. That's like a crazy stat to me because it like doesn't really match the eye test at all. Like when I think of Luka, I think of all those step backs that like just kind of float in and he has such a high arc on his shot and he looks like he's in slow motion, that kind of thing. And Harden's a guy who gets knocked for his shooting. And granted, Luka has a higher like overall field goal percentage, but Harden's shooting 35% from three this season. Luka 32, like you said. Giannis 31, like only one percentage point behind Luka. And I know his are much more wide open. He doesn't shoot as many. But still, like that tells you like Luka definitely has room to improve, which is crazy. Like if he can bring that efficiency up a little bit more, you could definitely see him like cross 30 points per game probably next season. But yeah, I agree. I had Harden third, Luka fourth, and then I did a fifth spot as well. I had Chris Paul fifth over Kawhi was probably the other guy I would consider there.
Oh, that's interesting because I had, and maybe I get why this is wrong just based on number of games, but I think I had Kawhi third out of that group.
Oh, just, wow.
Harden's been just like so inefficient this year. I mean, 43% from the field, 35% from three. And I get that he kind of compensates for it because he shoots so many free throws. But like those, I mean, the shooting numbers have, and there's just been like long, there have been stretches where like he's been arguably the best offensive player in the league. And then like recently, and also there was a stretch earlier in the season where he just really, really wasn't like scoring at a high rate and like has all these games where he's like 7 of 30. And like when I take into account that like I honestly like Harden, like especially in the small ball look, has been pretty solid defensively this year, but just how dominant Kawhi still is on that end and how much Kawhi is sort of keying a dominant Clippers team. And I get that he has a better roster around him than Harden does, but I think Kawhi's probably contributed to winning a little bit more on a per game basis, even though he's played 10 less. So maybe I'm projecting forward a little bit that Kawhi would have played most of the rest of the season and made it at least a little bit more comparable in terms of percentage of games with Harden. So I don't strongly disagree, but I think
contributing to winning thing, I think you're definitely projecting forward and projecting specifically into the playoffs, because in the regular season, the Clippers were four games ahead of the Rockets in the standings. And like you said, I think the Clippers have a better overall roster. I don't think they're like four games ahead in the standings is enough to really justify that. I think Harden, like you mentioned, playing the more games statistically, like having to do more for that team, I think is enough for me to put him third. Josh, wait,
can I just say with
Paul? No. Well, let me just go ahead. Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So I was just going to say that Harden has a much higher true shooting percentage than Kawhi on higher usage also. And I think to do that and have basically the same true shooting percentage as last year while swapping out Chris Paul and bringing in Westbrook, who's obviously going to make life a lot tougher for you, is really, really good. So just because his raw field goal percentage is low, just given how many free throws he takes and the proportion of threes to his overall field goal diet, it makes him a more efficient player. So I think offensively, he's just blowing Kawhi out of the water.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, he's definitely been better. I mean, I'm just looking for true shooting percentage. I couldn't find it. His effective field goal percentage is only a point higher than Kawhi's. And also, I mean, part of my case was also that Paul George has missed like the vast majority this year and really plays like 20 minutes a game when he's played. So once you remove that, like the rosters, like honestly, like aren't dramatically different. And I mean, again, you stretch out the four games over a full season, that it manifests itself into a slightly bigger difference. I don't think you guys are wrong. Like I think it's pretty close. But I just think Kawhi, with what he brings defensively and the fact that he has diversified his game this year and also is averaging five assists, and that's sort of become a big part of his offense. Like I kind of want to give him credit for that. But again, I don't feel particularly strong.
No, he's done a great job. I think like from a talent standpoint, it might be kind of close in between the rosters. But even like when you look at Paul George this year, yes, hasn't been close to what he was, but he's still. He's averaging 8 3-point attempts per game and hitting them at a 40% clip. So now if you look at him from a superstar standpoint to more of like a role player standpoint, he's a perfect fit around Kawhi, even though he's not hasn't had the season that the Clippers clearly hoped. And obviously it's been tough with him coming off the shoulder surgery. But I think from a fit perspective, the guys around Kawhi make it much more conducive for him to succeed than the guys around Harden.
Wait, but like Paul, he's played 42 games this year. And like he's out there for less than 30 minutes a game. Like, no, I'm not saying like he obviously has contributed, but he hasn't. Like, I don't know. I really don't think like when you
I mean Kawhi's only played 51.
Kawhi's
games.
Played 51, so
yeah, it's nine more.
Yeah,
10 less than Harden.
Harden's played 10 more than Kawhi.
Okay, but I think it really starts to matter when you get under 50.
It's such an arbitrary cutoff.
Yeah, it's a shorter season also. Yeah, I know. Like he would have gotten over 50.
Yeah, it was intentionally arbitrary. I was just... All right, we can move on.
But just one last thing. I had Chris Paul fifth. I don't know if you wanted to comment on that, Gavin.
Oh, yeah, I love it. I'm a really big fan. I think he made my All-NBA teams that I put together long before this podcast. he's been incredible. I'm a big fan of that pick.
Yeah, 36% from three, 49% from the field, 90% from the line. Played every game except for the day after Kobe Bryant died. And yeah, just leading the Thunder to the same record as the Rockets this season. Shocking everyone way over their over-under number for the season, which Gavin hid from me in our preseason over-under podcast. He intentionally deceived me and wound up picking that one for himself. That was an easy win for you, Gavin.
Sorry, I'm eating pineapple, but yeah, no, it was a good move by me.
yeah, so that's the MVP ballot. I think we covered anything. Josh, anything else you wanted to hit on that, or should we move on to Rookie of the Year?
Let's move on. Love the Chris Paul pick. And yeah.
Okay, Rookie of the Year. Ja Morant is the Rookie of the Year. I don't really want to argue too much about that. I think it's pretty clear. For me, what's more interesting is if I did a top three for this, if you guys think Zion should be second, or if the fact that he only played 18 games means that he should be third or not even on this ballot. I personally have him second. I think that just like the impact that he had in that short time and that I'm projecting forward, but that I'm assuming he'll have, I would feel like an insane person if I looked back in 3 years and didn't have Zion somewhere on these ballots.
Yeah, I agree with it personally. I mean, he's already, in terms of like on-off numbers, like one of the 12 or so best players in all of basketball. And he's keyed the Pelicans, even though they've fallen out of it a little bit lately, like them making a late season run towards the playoffs. And I think also, like, once you get past first place, like, I'm not really opposed to just sort of, I mean, taking out like the raw analytics of it a little bit and just sort of going to like, okay, who made the biggest impact? Like, who are the most memorable guys from the season? And I think, I mean, clearly Zion is the most talented of this rookie class. If he stays healthy, he's on track to be a Hall of Famer and one of the better Hall of Famers at that. So I'm pretty comfortable slotting him at second, especially because I don't think there was another rookie who's had such a good year. You just have to be like, okay, you got to reward that guy. Like, he's been kicking ass outside of Morant.
Yeah, no, I agree with your take, Gavin. It's like, I think obviously it's a bit negligent to put Zion first, given the season that Morant had. I mean, if it was kind of more of a situation like a few years ago where Brogdon had a really solid season and outperformed all expectations for a second round pick, but maybe you want to give Embiid, I see kind of some merit there. But the season Ja had and what he's on track to do going forward, he obviously has to be number one. Zion, I had at number two, just throwing him out there because he did have a great 20 or so games and deserves to be rewarded for that. And then third, my guy Brandon Clark, who had an incredible season, was a guy that got a lot of hype before the draft for what he did at Gonzaga in that 1 year. Obviously, I don't think anyone expected him to be this good right away, but he's been a huge contributor to what the Grizzlies have done this year. Obviously, he doesn't have the ceiling or the impact of Zion, but very much deserves to be number three on my ballot.
Yeah, I love the Clark pick. I remember during the draft, like, we were freaking out that he was falling so far and kind of wanting the Nets to trade up. But obviously, they knew that they were getting certain guys in the offseason, so they couldn't afford a first-round pick. The guy that I had third was Kendrick Nunn. 15.5 points per game, 36% from three, 45% from the field, chipping in a little bit in rebounds and assists. I just thought that his contribution, like, to a lock playoff team and a team that might have home court in the first round was kind of more than any other rookie. Like, even just like numbers wise, it's not like a crazy season. He's just like kind of performing like solidly. But like I said, just being like in the playoff rotation for a team, being like a core guy and doing it throughout the season also, like, he had that hot start and he's kind of along with Ja Morant, one of the few guys who has been like kind of consistent throughout this rookie year.
Yeah, your thoughts, Clarkie or Nunn?
I'm with you guys on Nunn. I kind of wanted to throw Tyler Herro in there, but I didn't realize how many games he's missed, and that took me out of it a little bit. Even though I'm a big fan of him, and I think long term, like, he's probably my pick to be the third best guy from this class, depending on how the Knicks build around RJ. And then I just want to give a shout out, since this will be appearing on a Locked On Knicks feed, to RJ Barrett, who I think with a functional franchise, who okay, no, that's not true. Yeah, Josh, don't we have enough problems right now that we don't need Knicks Nets hate? I'm on here supporting your loser franchise. The least you can do is support RJ Barrett.
Gavin, yeah. You begged to be on this podcast.
I did. I sent flowers that weren't laced with anything. I think with the normal franchise that actually acquired shooting over the offseason, RJ Barrett would be in this spot, because I think he could have put up great numbers this year. And you've seen it of late when they've actually put the ball back in his hands, that he's by and large been very, very good. But that has not been the case. So, like Marcus, I'm really impressed with Nunn. And more than anything else, like, I thought even if his role didn't diminish, his efficiency certainly would. But I'm just super impressed with his numbers across the board. I know you just went over them, Marcus, but I'll reemphasize: 45% from the field, 36% from three, 84% from the foul line. Just an awesome offensive player and a key cog on a really great team. So I'm going Nunn.
Yeah, quickly, my thing on Nunn is that I think he's obviously an incredible story for what he did as an undrafted player, but I think if he was replaced with a replacement-level guy, the Heat would kind of be similar. But Clark has made a huge impact to a team that didn't have any expectations, and he's basically been their third-best player. You can even argue second ahead of Jaren Jackson.
Wow.
He's good.
I think Clark's clearly the better long-term guy, to be fair.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah, okay. I think I agree with that.
All right, that's fine. And Claxton, number four.
I know, yeah, shouting out Nick Claxton too.
All right, so that is going to do it for part one of the NBA Awards podcast. We've got more coming later this week on this podcast. We've got Sixth Man of the Year, Most Improved, Coach of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, and of course, those all NBA teams later in the week. Stay tuned for that. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnNets. Josh, Jambass underscore. I am at Marcus Barrahall. Gavin is at Gavin Shaw. Until then, we will see you. Be well. Wash your hands. Bye.